different ways. When Hannah, Penelope and I go out, I reckon about half the time when someone stops us, maybe in the supermarket or out at the shops, they'll say, "What a cute little boy you have, what's his name?" And I appreciate that at this age they maybe don't look that distinct. But half the time she is wearing pink. And you think, how on earth have you not seen the colours that she's wearing? And you just assumed that she's a boy. The first few times I got a little bit offended, but now I'm just so used to it, it really doesn't bother me anymore. But think about how observant you might be. Just for a moment, think of your five closest friends. Just picture them in your mind. It might take a while in your mind to be thinking, who would I pick as my top five? But think of five close people. Now, once you've done that, try and think, what is the eye colour of each person? It's unlikely that for those five people, you would know the colour of their eyes. Even though they might be people that you've known for a long time, even though they might be people that you've seen a lot, we're not always that observant. One of the famous frustrations, I think, of many wives is how they can go and have their hair done and then they come back home and their husbands haven't even noticed. To an even more extreme extent, sometimes wives will go out and come back with a new pair of glasses on and the husbands still don't notice. You don't need to be looking at your spouses if they're here right now. Though our eyes are open and we're taking certain things in, we can all struggle to face people and to see who they truly are. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if we could take the time and the attention to detail to look into someone's eyes to see what colour their eyes actually are, but also to be able to look at their faces and to see the expressions on their faces. It's not just about what is coming out of their mouths, but we all know that we express so much more through our expressions. And how wonderful would it be if we could pay a little bit more attention to people's faces, to see them as they truly are. If we're not careful, the same thing can happen with God. Just how our lives can just be passing by, how the years go on and on and on. Like, isn't it amazing how we come towards the end of another decade? Time is just flying by, and we can be missing out on connecting with people on a deeper level because we're not really seeing who they are. We're not really appreciating who they are. So the same thing can happen in terms of our relationship with God. That as the years pass, we may be very devoted in many different ways. We may come along to church. We may pray. We may read our Bible. We might go along to a house group. We might do all sorts of wonderful things. And yet we don't see with our spiritual eyes. We don't really see and focus and pay attention to who God truly is. I want to spend a couple of moments looking at this passage that Anne-Marie kindly read for us earlier on, just picking out a few thoughts from some of the verses in our passage. So when the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he isn't trying to just imagine what they're like. The Apostle Paul knows the church in Corinth well. And just how he writes to them is the beginning of a conversation between him and the church at Corinth. And so we can learn so much about the church there through what he writes. And there's a big emphasis in the letters to the Corinthians about spiritual gifts and primarily charismatic gifts. And so as we read through the chapters, we see that the church in Corinth had a huge host of different troubles. But one thing that they really did excel in was using the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were people who really sought prophecy in the church. They're people who really, who often spoke in tongues in their church. They're people who used words of knowledge in their church as well. And these three wonderful gifts given to them, given to us, are gifts given from God to help us see God more clearly. So the Corinth church was blessed in knowing God in a certain way through these three wonderful gifts. But even though the church excelled in prophecy, in speaking in tongues, in words of knowledge, still Paul said that they struggled to see who God really is. Paul himself confesses that he struggles to see who God really is. And this is an amazing thing, because in Acts chapter 9 we read about Paul having a personal encounter with the risen Christ. And the risen Christ appeared in front of him and he spoke with him. They dialogued together. They started this wonderful relationship together. And yet Paul has to confess that even he can't see God as clearly as he would like to. There's this confession from him that both he and everyone alive in the early church, and even everyone today, can't know everything about God. And even when God came to earth, as we celebrated at Christmas, as God came to earth, wrapped in flesh, and people dialogued with the Son of God, people were touched by the Son of God, people saw the face of the Son of God, still there was much division and there was much confusion as to who God actually was. How much more difficult is it for us then, in subsequent generations, for us to know who God is? There's this frustration that we can't see God who he is, but there is this wonderful promise from the Apostle Paul. He gives a wonderful promise of hope. If we think about us all having a kind of spiritual cataracts, and I want to be sensitive because I know some people suffer with cataracts here, but if we all have spiritual cataracts where our view of God is hazy, and it's not because of who God is, it's because of who we are and to our spiritual blindness to some extent. If we struggle now, we have this wonderful hope that one day we will all see God clearly. And this is because just as Jesus came down at Christmas, so Jesus will come to the earth again. And at that point, he won't just reveal himself to some local people in some local towns, but he will reveal himself to the living, but also to the dead. That every person who has ever lived on this earth, whether they believed in him or not, will be raised, will be given a resurrection body, and will be given perfect eyes to be able to see the face of God himself. This is the wonderful hope. We will see the Son of God face to face. I don't exactly understand how that will work, how it can all happen at once, but I believe it to be true. And if Jesus can predict his death, and he can predict his resurrection, and then he dies in that manner, and then he is risen in that manner, then whatever Jesus says, I'm all game for. Whatever Jesus predicts and what his followers predict about the future, I'm happy to go with. And so we have this wonderful promise that we'll be face to face with Christ. What expression will be on your face when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth? I hope for each of us, it will be an expression of absolute joy. that as we have lived in this frustration of not being able to see God so clearly, as we try to mumble through lives, trying to figure out who God is and what God's plans are for us, that when we see the face of God himself, there'll be such joy that we can now see him and we can see the expression of love on his face towards us. I hope there will be that expression of joy for each of us. Because if there isn't an expression of joy, then we know there will be an expression of despair. For those who have lived before and those who are living now, who never sought the face of God, who always doubted whether he existed or whether he was good, doubted the claims of Christ, they will be face to face with Jesus, knowing that they had lived their lives the wrong way. They had lived their lives with complete spiritual blindness. And there will be no joy on their face as they know that their judge has come to judge the earth. Since September, we've been looking at a poem in the book of Ecclesiastes. And today, as it's final Sunday of the year, we finish our series. And the verse that I want to pick up from that poem today is, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to search and a time to give up. A time to search and a time to give up." If we are walking around with spiritual cataracts, if we're walking around with a hazy view, a dim view of who God is, so should we just give up and just wait for the return of Christ? Or should we keep on searching for a clearer view of God? Well, obviously, I would say the latter. I believe that we don't just have to wait until Christ returns for us to see him, but rather there are a couple of things that we can do in order to bring clarity to our vision of God. And those two things are simply spending time with God and also developing a friendship with God. In Exodus chapter 33, we have this description of how Moses sought to spend his time and how he sought to have a clearer view of who God was. Moses built a tent away from the busy crowd of the Israelites. And he would go to that tent of meeting. And in that tent, along with his assistant Joshua, he would encounter God. He would see God with clarity and would be encouraged in that way. In our passage, it says that Moses would spend time face to face with God himself. I don't know exactly how that worked out. I don't know exactly what Moses saw when he saw God. Whether God had revealed himself, had manifested himself in a very physical way, or whether it was more of a dream or a vision, I just don't know. But what we do see is that Moses was face to face with God, and that through spending time with God, he got to see his face in a much clearer way. It also says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. We can imagine, some of us can imagine or think of God as being harsh or as being distant in the Old Testament. But we see that Moses built a close and intimate friendship with God. Through spending time with God, through pursuing a friendship with God, our view of him becomes clearer and we can see him from face to face. Just how we will see our own friends and our family better if we actually take the time to look into their faces, to see the expression on their faces, to see what they're really thinking through looking at their eyes, so we can be closer to God through seeing him face to face as we develop a friendship with him. 2020 is going to be a big year. It's going to be a big year for our country. It's going to be a big year for many companies. It's a big year for many organizations and Christian organizations. I hope it will be a big year for SBC as well. One of the things that we want to be doing as we think about 2020 is for us to be seeking a clearer vision of what God wants for us at this church, for how we can grow closer together, for how we can grow as disciples together, for how we can be more fruitful together in our mission and in our evangelism. But before we get to 2020, I want to give us all a real encouragement, not just to be thinking about what we want to be seeing of God and his plans for us this year, but for us to be seeking to see God himself more clearly. That's even more important than seeking his plans for us. So as we come to the end of our series on the seasons, may we realize the times and the seasons that we're in. Would we seek clarity from God how to make the most of each of the seasons of life? But most importantly, may we see who God is through it all. Amen. On your tables, there are multiple sheets of glasses. So if you could please pass those around your tables. And we're going to use these sheets as a way of response and as a way of a reflection to what we have read about this morning, what we've been thinking about this morning. As you'll see, there are two lenses in glasses, and I want you to use each of the lenses to help you figure out more about having a clearer vision for 2020. And so in one of the lenses, I want you to be thinking about and to actually be writing down how you would like to see God himself more clearly in 2020. There are so many attributes of God. There are so many facets of God. We can imagine God like a diamond, where there are so many facets of him, so many aspects to his character. And one of the key things that we want to be doing as followers of him is to see him more clearly. And so in one of the lenses, why don't you write down maybe a few of the attributes of God that you would like to see more clearly? Maybe you would like to see God's holiness more clearly in 2020. Maybe you'd like to see God's forgiveness more clearly in 2020. Maybe you'd like to see God's hope more clearly in 2020. Please use one of the lenses for that. And then on the other lens, use that as a space to be thinking and to be writing down maybe an area of life that you'd like clarity from God from. Maybe you know that there is going to be a different season to life in 2020. Maybe you're a young family trying to figure out how you're going to be splitting up your time. Maybe there's decisions that you need to be making for your children, and you want wisdom and you want clarity from God from that. Write that down. Maybe, I know for some people here, your work situation is going to be changing in 2020. Maybe you want to write down that and be praying through that, asking that God would give you clarity and discernment in knowing what to do in that area. Maybe you're coming towards an area of life where you know you're going to be struggling a little bit more, where you know that you're going to be a little bit more dependent on others. Why not be writing about that? Why not be praying about that, asking for God's wisdom and direction and knowing how best to go about seeking help in 2020? We're going to have a few moments now just in the quiet for you to be writing down those things. Of course, if you're with someone today that you'd like to pray those things through, then please do. But we'll take a few moments as Peter plays. Then I'll pray, and then we'll continue in our worship.